Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer alongside Hall of Fame sports columnist John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, that is correct, right? You are a Hall of Fame sports writer, right?
Yeah, but I don't beat people over the head with it. It's just something happened along the way.
John, taking a look at Tennessee football's recruiting class for 2022, the rankings are lagging a little bit for the Vols. Normally, you can pretty well pencil Tennessee in for a top 20 class in most years. Sometimes they might slip down to the 20 to 25 range, but usually Tennessee pretty safely inside that top 20. Right now, in the 24/7 sports composite, Tennessee's nationally ranked at number 33. It's five member classes. There's five players committed. For a national ranking of 33, within the SEC, Tennessee is ranked just 11th. And of course, this is going to be the first signing class for Coach Josh Heupel, and Tennessee coming off a 3-7 season and is trying to recruit under the cloud of an NCAA investigation. So perhaps to be expected, but just how big of a concern is this, do you think, at this juncture that Tennessee's recruiting class, A, only has five commitments, and B, is really lagging in the rankings right now?
Well, I think it is a concern, but it's not anything to panic over right now. Tennessee fans are so accustomed that no matter what happens with the program, how many games it loses, whom it fires, whom it hires, Tennessee always, like you said, it comes in with a top 20 class. I marveled at Derek Dooley's first recruiting class. I mean, Philip Fulmer was fired after the 2008 season. Lane Kiffin zooms in here, stays a year. He's gone in January. And Derek Dooley ended up with a top 10 class. I mean, that to me was a testament to Tennessee's brand that somehow, no matter what, there are a lot of people who want to play football for Tennessee. But we're on foreign ground now. The cloud of an NCAA investigation is enormous.
Is that the element that you think makes it most difficult to recruit? Because to me, that stands out. The 3-7 season, the, I guess, mess of an offseason, really, with a coaching change late in the calendar, none of that, I suppose, is ideal. But I would think that you could, with the excitement of a new coach, and you recruit to opportunity, right? You tell recruits that, hey, this program went 3-7 last year. It means you can come here and play immediately. But so to me, the investigation is the real, I guess, X factor that is making this a challenge.
The thing about it is it's just sort of a stigma. They're not going to give Tennessee the death penalty. You're still going to have a football team. Maybe you can't play in a bowl one year, but how good a bowl will Tennessee be in anyway? And yeah, you could lose some scholarships. That will hurt. But there's the advantage of adding transfers that you didn't have in years past. That's a plus. I just kind of think if it's a stigma and it's an uncertainty, a black cloud that just doesn't go away. And the NCAA is in no hurry. It doesn't care how this affects Tennessee's recruiting. It goes on its own clock. I just think it's kind of an image thing. And you combine that with the image of 8 losing seasons in 13 years, constant coaching turnover, and also the timing of the last firing and hiring. I mean, it didn't happen at the end of November. You know, we're well into January when this happens, where it's all you come up with Josh Heupel as your new coach. So I think it's going to be the most challenging recruiting cycle Tennessee's ever had.
You know, one thing, John, when you look at the rankings in the SEC, all the first-year coaches are sort of lumped together. At number 10 in the SEC right now in the 24/7 composite is Vanderbilt. They have 7 commitments. Tennessee's 11th in the SEC. South Carolina's 12th. Auburn's 13th. All those four programs are the programs with first-year coaches. So, you know, it's not really as if Josh Heupel's doing in his staff is lagging behind any of the other new coaches. And then, strangely, Ole Miss is in last in the conference rankings with just 2 commitments at this juncture. You know, Lane Kiffin had a pretty solid class in his 2021 recruiting class. A little surprised to see Ole Miss sitting there with just the 2 commitments at this point in the calendar. But you know, like I said, overall Tennessee is in that bunch toward the bottom of the conference, but it is in that bunch with other first year coaches. And you know, as you said, Heupel was hired in mid January, which is later than you would typically hire a coach. And so you're starting from behind a little bit as you're trying to build your class. And, you know, he comes from UCF. So it's not as if a lot of the players he was recruiting at UCF, you don't just carry that over to Tennessee, I don't think. You know, if he was, when Tennessee hired Jeremy Pruitt recruiting at Alabama, well, he's going to try to recruit the same caliber of athlete that he was already recruiting in, at Alabama. Now, maybe good luck getting some of them because they might wind up at Alabama or Georgia. But still, he was already recruiting that caliber of athlete. For Tennessee, I don't think, you know, in this case, with Josh Heupel, I don't think he could just take his recruiting board that he had at UCF and shift it over to Tennessee. I would have to think that there's a little bit of a restructuring there and dropping some guys off the board and adding some new guys to it.
I wonder, Blake, if Tennessee might need to alter its recruiting philosophy a little bit. I mean, we've been going through this for a while where Tennessee brings in top 20 classes, gets a fair amount of four stars. And what's it gotten out of that? I mean, the team, it just went 3-7. Jeremy Pruitt had two losing seasons in 3 years. Butch Jones had two losing seasons, lost to 8 in his final year. Derek Dooley had 3 consecutive losing seasons. And these guys were signing 4 stars. So that's not working.
So are you arguing to sign worse players, John?
Yeah, definitely. That's what you need to do. No, I just think maybe there's some cases where they need to lower the bar somewhat, not always. But if you're pursuing 4 and 5 stars, are you spinning your wheels sometimes? I wonder if that's what's going on with Brian Harsin at Auburn right now. Because Auburn recruits pretty well in general, and it's competing with Alabama. So you gotta aim high, but what if you don't hit anything? I think the key for Tennessee getting better in football is doing a better job of developing players. And I know it can't sign just only 3 stars and get there, but I just think whether it's signing 3 or 4 stars, it's got to do a better job of developing those players, because that, to me, has been the main problem with the number of coaches here.
I think, you know, with this class, one of the key elements is that it has its quarterback. I think, you know, it would be more concerning at this juncture if Tennessee didn't have a quarterback committed to its class and was sort of you know, just chasing aimlessly after quarterbacks, because a lot of the top quarterbacks commit by this point, and we've seen one commit to Tennessee, and Taven Jackson, a 4-star prospect. So he's the only 4-star prospect in this recruiting class at this point. And so to me, the fact that at least, even though Tennessee's not you know, lighting the world on fire by any means with its early recruiting for this 2022 class, at least it has a quarterback. I think there would be bigger cause for concern if you didn't have a quarterback at this point in the calendar, especially after losing, you know, Ty Simpson, an in-state prospect to Alabama. Tennessee was a finalist for Simpson, but didn't earn his commitment. At least they pivoted, and they also did not get the commitment of Sam Horn, another prospect that they were in the final pecking order for, and he committed to Missouri. And so if Tennessee still did not have a quarterback at this point, I think that could be a bit alarming. But they do have a 4-star prospect in Taven Jackson committed. When you look at things from a big picture, John, do you think recruiting rankings are discussed so much? And I think, you know, they are important. You look at the rankings, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Clemson. These teams are near the Ohio State, Oklahoma. These teams are near the top of the recruiting rankings pretty much every year, and these are some of the best programs in college football. So the rankings matter. However, with the one-time transfer rule now in play, programs can pick up players out of the transfer portal and add them to their roster and have them play immediately in the next season. Do you think that lessens the importance of signing top 15 classes because you can stock up on transfers who can play immediately? Or do you see recruiting rankings and the high school talent that you're assembling mattering as much as ever?
I think the ability to pick up transfers and have them play right away is very helpful to a team in a transitional year like Tennessee is. I think that's important. But overall, I don't think you can have a consistent winning program unless you recruit good players. And it gets back to the development. And there's sort of a desperate quality to transfers, and I think it works, and I think it can complement what you're doing. But I still think you need a solid foundation based on high school recruits. And maybe those rankings don't mean as much as they used to because of the transfer, but I still think they mean a lot. I mean, Josh Heupel's playing catch-up right now. But it is, you know, next year, I mean, I think he'll have a chance to recruit a better class. And I agree with you. The fact that Tennessee has committed a commitment from a four-star quarterback, that to me is impressive.
Yeah, and it's almost as if we need two sets of rankings here. You need a class ranking for your recruits, and then you need a class ranking for your transfer class as well, because you know, we're seeing, as you said, particularly with first-year coaches assembling a lot of transfers. It's not just Tennessee. Tennessee's added several transfers who will, thanks to this one-time transfer exception rule, have an opportunity to contribute and in some cases have big roles on this team this year. But it's not just Tennessee. We've seen that at Auburn. We've seen South Carolina take that approach. Those are programs as well with first-year coaches. And so, again, it's almost like we need to know what the recruiting class is ranked, and then we need to know what the transfer class is ranked. And with the power programs, John, it's going to be curious to see how many spots they save for transfers, because, you know, Alabama can go out and sign every year 25, 5, and 4-star prospects, basically. I mean, you look at their 2021 recruiting class, they had 23 guys that were either a 5-star or a 4-star and sprinkled in a couple 3-stars to round out the class. But so what's going to be interesting to me is you don't just get unlimited spots. You know, you can't go out and sign a full class and then after that go out and add a bevy of transfers to your roster as well. So does Alabama just sign a full class of 4- and 5-star guys and say, okay, we might add a couple transfers? Or do you think some of these power programs are going to start signing fewer players to leave more spots open to sort of raid the transfer portal?
Well, Alabama's kind of in a world of its own. What Alabama can do is it doesn't have to necessarily save a spot for transfers. Natural attrition will create those openings. I mean, there will be guys on Alabama's depth chart who are third and fourth, and they just don't want to wait for their turn. Or maybe even worse for them, they realize, you know, I'm not as good as a lot of these guys here. I don't think I'll ever play for this team. And so they transfer. So you lose those guys. And so I see where it could actually enhance programs like Alabama, because they're going to lose guys that really wouldn't have helped them that much. But then they can go out and pick off somebody from, I don't know, Penn State, Indiana, wherever, who've done well and want a chance to play for a championship and be a part of the Nick Saban dynasty. So I think they will do it strategically, but I don't think they will create openings and say, hey, we gotta save 5 openings for transfers. I don't think that will happen.
Well, and I think the biggest concern for college football should be is if the NCAA increases the number of initial counters you can add in a year, because, you know, I think some coaches are concerned about that with the number of transfers. They want to see that number increase of initial counters. Well, if you increase that initial counter number, that's just saying the power programs can add that many more players. And so that takes away that many more players out of the pool. And so I get that coaches are concerned with the number of players transferring that they might need that initial counter number of 25 to increase, but I would be worried about the backside of that, and that's allowing all the top programs to add that many more initial counters too. So I would think you're better off leaving the initial counter where it is and trying to limit attrition and do the best you can in signing players and adding guys from the portal, and not let all these powerful programs add, say, 10 more guys if you increase the initial counter number by 10.
Well, we're seeing it happen already. I mean, I think Florida is doing a pretty good job with the transfer portal. Florida's not recruiting at that elite level. It's recruiting pretty good, top 15, maybe top 10. But it's not recruiting up there with LSU, Alabama, and Georgia. And those are the teams that, for Florida to advance, to go from a 10-win program to a championship program, it probably needs to upgrade its recruiting. So perhaps, I've just seen with the guys it's added in the last couple of years under Dan Mullen, it's not just taking anybody. It's taken several guys that were 4- and 5-star recruits. I mean, it's got, I think, 2 5-star running backs, one from Clemson, one from Miami. Lorenzo Lingard couldn't play last year much because of an injury, and he'll be able to play this year at running back, former 5-star Miami. So I think you just have to be very strategic about this, and you have to understand your needs and also your goals. You want to compete for a championship, or you want to just qualify for the Music City Bowl.
Even though Tennessee doesn't have any 5-star commitments in its class right now, we'd appreciate it if you could give us a 5-star rating. The better rating we get for our podcast allows us to get in front of more listeners. So if you haven't already, please take a moment to give us a rating, subscribe to the podcast if you don't already, and you won't miss an episode as we continue to prepare for this first season under Josh Heupel. Less than 100 days away now. We're about a month and a half out from SEC Media Days. John, in a current team development this week, we're talking about recruits and guys who might join the program down the road, but in a current roster development, and pretty important, really, development this week, our colleague at the Knoxville News Sentinel, Mike Wilson, reported that freshman quarterback Caden Salter and freshman linebacker Aaron Willis have been reinstated in terms of participating in workouts. They're participating in summer workouts. Of course, they were suspended throughout the spring in connection with an off-the-field incident. A few other players involved in that Stokely Hall incident have since hit the transfer portal, no longer with the program. But in the case of freshman Caden Salter and Aaron Willis, still with the program, suspended all spring, but now they've been reinstated and will participate in summer workouts. Of those two, John, both 4-star prospects, didn't get a chance to see him in the spring, but Salter or Willis, who do you think has the better chance of making an impact for Tennessee during their first season?
I would guess Willis because of the position. I think with Salter not participating in the spring with the suspension, thinks it puts him behind the other guys. He obviously has talent. Perhaps he eventually will climb to the top of the depth chart, but right now, I don't think has the same kind of candidacy for the starting quarterback job than he might have had if he would have gone through all spring and competing with these other guys. So just the linebacking core is a mess. So any help you can get there is significant. And I don't know how good he'll turn out to be, but I think it's at least encouraging that he is a 4-star and now he's available.
Yeah, I agree. I think Willis is the guy that I would expect to have a better chance of contributing. And it's because of what you said. I think that the linebacker position needs help more. And I think Tennessee has options at quarterback. We saw that throughout the spring, and they're getting more options with the addition of transfer Joe Milton from Michigan. So, and I also think it's hard to play catch up anywhere when you're a freshman who's, you know, coming off of a spring long suspension, but at quarterback in particular, you know, it's so valuable as an early enrollee like these guys were to have a chance to learn the system, to get used to the offense you're going to be running in college. And, And Salter missed that opportunity this spring, whereas all these other guys in the program, some of them are older guys. In the case of someone like Hendon Hooker, they're all learning new offenses too, because it's a new system, but you know, some of them have experience running a college offense. Really, all of them do, all these other guys in the program. And they gained experience running this offense throughout the spring. So I just think it's going to be so difficult for him to play catch up throughout the summer and preseason camp, given the amount of competition that Tennessee has. We've said before, I don't know that there's a star quarterback in this bunch, but in terms of depth of the competition, I think Tennessee is positioned as well as it's been in really several years at quarterback, because they do have several options. They got a variety of options. They got some veterans that have done it before. They got the young guys like Harrison Bailey, who finished last year as a starter. Caden Salter coming in as another young option. So, yeah, I think he faces a long road toward moving up that depth chart. And yet still, you know, we sit here in June and none of these quarterbacks have hit the transfer portal. We've been talking for weeks now whether they could hang on to all these quarterbacks, and it's really pretty amazing that I think Tennessee's going into the summer now with all of its quarterbacks. Nobody's hit the portal, but I think it speaks to just how wide open the race is for the job. And I think evidently all these guys think they have a shot to win it.
Yeah, I wrote a column a week or so ago on Brian Maurer, who's be going into his third Tennessee season. He's had a few starts. He's had some up and downs. He's had some injuries, but he, to me, would be a really likely candidate to transfer. And he's still here. That tells me that he believes he can win the job. I just don't think you do that otherwise. Now, he may love being at Tennessee, and you know, it won't be devastating to him if he's not the starting quarterback, that he just likes being at Tennessee. I don't know that, but my guess is I think he has confidence that perhaps he can compete with any of these guys.
Hey John, you got a homework assignment for you. I want you to come up with what halls of fame you're in and let me know next week, because I'm going to try to figure out whether I have candidacy for those halls of fame, or if those are, you know, only options that you were able to pursue, because I'd like to join you in one of those.
I don't really do homework anymore. I think hall of fames are for people that just endure and just hang around.
Longevity award.
At some point they just say, hey, that guy's still here, you know, I guess we ought to put him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's been here so long. I guess he's done something fairly competent every now and then. Yeah, so you've got other things you can focus on. I wouldn't worry about that.
Good advice. Thanks, John, and thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.